Hey, welcome to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. I'm Dr. Zach Clinton, joined today by my dad and co-host, Dr. Tim Clinton. Thank you for listening. Hey, if you enjoy today's broadcast and want to help the AACC equip the church to provide Christian mental health care and resources to those in need, and even to help us provide training to those ready to step into a people-helping role, just go to aaccfoundation.org. Again, that's aaccfoundation.org to donate. Your gift helps keep this program and your station on the air as we expand our ministry to train others to have effective mental health ministries. Hey, we'd love for you to be a part of our family as we continue sharing messages of help, hope, and healing with today's generations. My dad, Dr. Tim Clinton, and I have a wonderful guest joining us now, so let's get started. Did you guys know that 40% of parents raising children under the age of 18 are members of step families? Some might even say that the non-traditional family is the new traditional family. Well, on today's edition of Life, Love, Faith, and Family, my dad picks up with author Ron Deal. You see, blended families take many different shapes, and the conversation with Ron Deal is absolutely fascinating as he has studied blended families for so many years. My dad and Ron unpack helpful hints for parents and step-parents to practice empathy with kids dealing with change and new people in their lives. This conversation, I can assure you, will be helpful to any person or family that has efforted and sometimes overcome so much adversity to be together and thrive in the face of the twists and turns that life can throw at us. Ron Deal is the author of Preparing to Blend, The Couple's Guide to Becoming a Smart Step Family. He contends that combining families does not have to be like oil and water. So now let's go to that interview with my dad, Dr. Tim Clinton, as he's joined by Ron Deal.
Ron, yesterday we got into the conversation about children and what they're up against, and the word loss was something that we centered around a lot of discussion. Ron, just go through that again and tell us why that word is so important for parents to understand.
So everybody, adults and children, but children in particular, are carrying loss just below the surface. So everything that has led up to the new stepfamily situation has loss just dripping all over it. And so let me put it this way. When a child looks at their step-parent and says, "You're not my dad, you can't tell me what to say." Yes, that child is telling you they didn't want to clean their room, but they're also telling you about their loss. You see, what they're really saying underneath those words is, "I wish my dad were here." But you are a walking billboard, stepfather, of what has not happened in my life. Dad died. Mom and dad divorced. Dad's in my world. I see him on a regular basis, but he's not here right now in this moment. I'd rather it be him telling me to clean my room. But now I got to deal with you. So yes, that is a moment where we have to manage the child's behavior, but we also have to try to connect into their heart and their sadness. And that's a delicate thing. And I coach step parents to say, "Well, you know what? Everybody in this home has to clean the room. And so you have to clean yours. And I'll give you the choice. You can do it, or we'll use your allowance and pay your brother to do it for you." So you can either deal with the consequence or you can make the choice to obey. But inside that step parent is also logged sadness. So later we're going to come back and try to connect into sadness. And maybe it's mom that comes back at the end of that day after hearing the story from her husband and goes to her son's room and says, "Man, heard you had a rough day. Boy, your brother was happy making some money to clean your room for you. I hope next time you'll make the choice to do that. But oh, by the way, I'm wondering if you and I get a little extra time together. When was the last time you talked to dad? Could we make an arrangement for you to visit with him, FaceTime him a little bit?" You try to begin to speak into the sadness that is underneath that behavioral anger that's on the outside.
And sometimes, Ron, let me go back to that statement we referred to yesterday. We act out what we haven't worked out. Sometimes I'll push every button I can, basically to test and maybe prove that you really don't love me. Mm-hmm. You're in here saying you do. Nah, that's not true. And I'm banging on that door. And Ron, a lot of that behavior, again, is just that statement screaming out of my heart. I'm lost, I'm confused, I'm frustrated, I'm angry, I've lost my voice, nobody hears me. I'm dying inside and I don't think anybody knows it.
I really think confused is the right word for a lot of kids. There's a part of them that's glad you're standing in front of me telling me to clean my room. There's another part of them that really wishes it was somebody else. And so they don't know what to do in that moment. And it comes out as, "No, I'm not gonna clean my room." Comes out as an attitude. Okay, we're gonna deal with the attitude, but we're you're also going to try to connect into that sadness and help that child give expression to, as you say, to work out that sadness rather than act out that sadness. Long term, kids are much better off when somebody steps into their world. Imagine a stepdad, for example, Tim, who right around Father's Day goes to a stepchild and says, "Man, you know, I was thinking, you're with us this weekend, and this Sunday is Father's Day. You're not going to be with your dad. Man, if I were you, I'd be sad about that." This is the stepdad talking to the child about their relationship with their biological father. And he's stepping into that sadness and he's saying, "I get it. I'm sorry about that. I would love to do something to try to help you honor your dad for this weekend. Can I help in any way?" So what this stepdad has just done is A, minister to this child's sadness. That's important. That's valuable. But B, here's the bonus. He has proven to this child that I am not competing with your relationship with your father. As a matter of fact, I am going to give blessing on your relationship with your father. I'm never standing in the way of that. Guess what? That just made this stepdad respectable and honorable and safe emotionally to be around. And so this child goes, "You got a few points there. Like, I can see you're not standing in the way of my relationship with my dad. You're not trying to erase and replace. So I like you a little bit more."
Yeah, because he probably has some loyalty issues.
Yeah.
He's like struggling. If I even remotely think that I like you or want to hang out with you, that makes me bad to my dad.
In particular, if I think you're trying to erase and replace my dad in my life. Like if I have any hint that you're trying to move in on his territory, then if I move toward you, I really feel guilty as a child. I really have that loyalty thing come to the surface and everything inside me is going to say, "No, I cannot draw close to you. So now I've got to be mean to you. I've got to have an attitude toward you." Again, there's a lot going on under the surface in our children. And this is not necessarily a horrible thing. It just is what it is. And it's when adults see it and hear it and reach and try to minister to it, that can be transformative, not only for the child, but also eventually for the whole family.
Ron, in your new book, Preparing to Blend, The Couple's Guide to Becoming a Smart Step Family, you talk about an important step in the process of getting to a healthy place is doing what's called a blended family map. Ron, can you tell us a little bit about, through the years, why this has become so significant? I get it from a counselor's perspective. It's like developing a genogram, but explain that for our listeners and why and how important it is.
So family therapists have used genograms for years and years and years. It's simply a way of sort of like drawing a family tree where you connect people and relationships and this person married this person and they had these children. But even more than that, it explores relationship patterns and mental health patterns through the generations and between family members. In a premarital counseling situation, it helps you anticipate what's coming, what the new family is going to look like, what it's going to feel like, and what it's going to be like to be each of the different individual members of your family. So I have some friends that have dedicated a fair amount of money and time and energy to create a digital family map, a digital genogram. People can go online, take this inventory essentially, and create their map, and it gives them this picture. This is your new family. This is what it's going to look like. And what's really great about it is there's so many insights that naturally come. One of them is for a parent to go, "Oh, wow, I just sort of thought in my head of our family as being you, me, husband and wife, and your two kids and my one child. There's going to be five of us in the family." But when you look at it on paper, you go, "Oh, but wait a minute." From the child's viewpoint, they have another parent over here, and that parent has recoupled. Maybe they're dating somebody, maybe they're married. And then they've got another parent in another home over here, these kids. And so for children, it's three households, not one. It's five or six adults parenting them, not just two. It's seven or eight sets of grandparents, not just three or four. Like all of a sudden you look at life through the eyes of somebody else, not just you, and you begin to see the complexity of your blended family, what it means for them to try to maintain all of those relationships. And then you could step in and you go, "Oh, but I've also noticed that this child has three really positive relationships in their life, but they've got one over here that is really difficult."
And making them crazy.
And how do we help with that relationship? You know, it just opens up questions and insights that you just didn't have any other way.
What you're doing is you're mapping out this child's life and you're seeing maybe emotional triangles that are happening between different people that are precipitating maybe a lot of the insanity that they're going through. Ron, if you don't see that, or let me go to the positive side. Here's support system. Papa is a wonderful voice in his or her life.
There you go.
You need Papa in this conversation a lot more. That kind of thing, Ron, right?
Yes. Imagine a child who Papa was huge during the single parent years, picked him up from school, spent extra time, really poured into this child's life. And now this kid has three more sets of grandparents. We don't need Papa picking you up from school anymore because we've got this person who's able to do it and they live a little closer. Oh, wait a minute. No, for that child, we want to keep Papa in the picture because that is a huge asset and resource for this child. That's the kind of thing you begin to realize when you do this digital genogram. That's chapter one in this book, Preparing to Blend. It gets people seeing life through the eyes of other people, developing some empathy, and beginning to think through strategies that can help their family merge.
Ron, I wanted to ask you, how long does it take really to blend or stabilize this new family?
There's a lot of factors that affect this.
Sure.
But in general, we like to say that somewhere between 5 and 7 years is what it takes for step families to really begin to find their fit, to integrate. It would be the word that I would use, to figure out the balance of relationships, to have established enough trust that people feel like they're connected with one another and identify with one another.
We're talking with Ron Diehl, brand new book again, Preparing to Blend, The Couple's Guide to Becoming a Smart Step Family. One of the best, if not the best books out there, forward by our friend Dr. Gary Chapman. Preparing to Blend is one of the best ways to prepare for blended family success. Ron, in this book, and I know through all those years of experience and all the work you've done, the research you've done, you talk about a real challenge for these families. It's called unrealistic expectations that often kill the good work that's being done. It starts out, Ron, with family members are going to love each other right away, for example. Mm-hmm. Can you address a couple, two or three of them that you highlight in the book?
You know, I think it's just real easy for couples. They're falling in love. They've developed a vision for their life together. They wouldn't be getting married if they hadn't done that, you know. And along with that comes this vision for their kids. I want my kids to be blessed because of this union. And so obviously they've thought it through. There's a part of them that needs the idea that the children are going to fall in love with the family as much as they have fallen in love with this new person and the idea of being a family together. And so with that comes that unrealistic expectation. I love you. The kids are going to love you. The kids are going to love us. Well, I would say there's a part of the children that do fall in love with a step-parent, with step-siblings. And there's another part of them that is unsure about it all. There's another part of them that is feeling that loss and loyalty that we talked about. And so they're confused in this journey. So it's clear for you because you've fallen in love. As an adult, you can see it clearly, but for children, it's a mixed bag.
Yeah, Ron, this marriage family will be better than the last one. We can merge traditions quickly. Our kids are invested in our marriage as much as we are. My relationship with my children won't have to change. So much more. Those pieces, when you come into a relationship with those kind of expectations and when expectation and reality don't come together, there's a lot of disappointment, Ron.
Yes.
And discouragement that starts to build quickly.
I have a phrase, at the intersection of Parenting Street and Marriage Avenue are an awful lot of collisions. That's true in biological families. It's really true in blended families. You have the best of intentions. Hey, I want to help you get out of bed in the morning and get to school on time and be ready to learn. And so here's some things I want to bring to your life. You really have good intentions to help this child. But the manner in which you go about it sometimes makes it really difficult for the child to hear that, to feel that, to respond well to it. Plus, they're trying to figure out their loyalty and their loss. And, you know, you're not my dad. And I really wish my dad were here. And it's very important for step-parent and biological parent to work in unison with one another. Anybody who teaches on parenting talks about unity for the couple and how important that is. It is triple, quadruple important for couples in blended families, because the step-parent has such a weak relationship with the stepchildren, especially in the beginning. It grows over time, but in the beginning, it's just sort of, I don't know who you are. And so bioparent, step-parent, lots of conversation behind closed doors, lots of discussion about how to work together. Your rules, my rules. We got to figure out our rules and how we're going to lead together.
Ron, one of the big ones up front is be careful what you say about biological dad or biological mom, right?
Yeah.
Who's not in the home.
That's right. If a child hears a stepmother make a derogatory remark about their biological mother. What they just heard is, you're trying to erase and replace her. You just bowed that child's back.
Oh, you did.
And you just made it harder for them to like you, let alone trust you.
Got to be careful there. Ron, you talk about a little bit of a hierarchy when it comes to parenting. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. the biological parent of the child becomes really significant here. Tell us about that real quick.
Yeah, really it has to do with definition to the relationship. A biological parent has a clearly defined relationship with the child, has a strong emotional attachment with their child. The child trusts them. We've been through life together. We've been through hard together, thick and thin together. You're my mom, period, end of story. Now my stepdad, I'm trying to figure that one out. I don't know where to put you. Some days I like you. Some days I love you. Some days I really don't want you around. Okay, so that's a different sort of relationship. All right. Mom can do hard work with a child. She can take away the car keys. She can say, no, you're not going to that party. She can say, yes, you're going to do your chores before you leave this house. And if not, here's the consequence that's going to happen if you don't follow through. Mom can do the hard work because she's mom. In the beginning, stepdads can join in that, or step-parent, I should say, can join in that work. But you've got to understand, you're sort of like the babysitter. Have you ever had a babysitter attempt? Like, I've had tons of babysitters through the years. We put them in charge, and they can actually follow the rules and tell our kids, nope, no movie time until you've cleaned your room. And they can get away with that. Why? Because they're standing on the shoulders of the parent who empowered them before the parent left the house. Yeah. Same thing with a step-parent on day one. We're going to let biological parent empower step-parent. You work together, and the step-parent can get things done. Over time, as the step-parent's relationship gets more definition and gets stronger, then they can stand on their own 2 feet, and that'll come. You just don't want to get it out of order, because if you create an enemy with a child, now you got to repair and you got to undo all of that before you can even begin to really move into parenting.
Ron, you've got kids who don't like change.
Mm-hmm.
They struggle with their emotion regulation. You got kids who I can see battlegrounds, lines being drawn with other kids in the family, struggling over money, power, authority, all kinds of things. You can see people trying to move in and move out on parents, you know, trying to influence decision-making any way they can, Ron. And then you've got a couple trying to figure out how to love each other in the midst of it. When they see all this tension going on, it begins to infect or affect how we love or how we don't love even each other. Ron, this is tough. I wanted to take this latter part of the program, Ron, and ask you, when you survey all the couples you've worked with, when you survey all the data and all the work you've done, Ron, and you distill this down, what are we really trying to do here? What ultimately is this all about?
Everybody just wants to be loved, to belong, and to feel like they're in a trustworthy environment where people are faithful to the love that they bring. At the end of the day, that's all anybody wants. And when we have that, we tend to act better. We tend to give love just as we have received it, and to be faithful in our love just as you have been faithful to me. It just as people who are stuck and caught in sin, when they finally embrace their identity in Christ and what God has done for them, and they understand the depth of mercy and grace, it changes us. It softens our heart. All of a sudden, it's like, I don't have to perform. God loves me. I get to love him the way he's loved me. Now, let me figure out how to do that. And I'm moving in a better direction. The same thing is true in families. And it's true in a blended family. Maybe it's something a child has experienced. One of my parents died, and just I'm wrestling with God over, how could you take my parent? I don't understand.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, they begin to feel God's grace in the form of a step-parent who has entered into their world and who is just persistently pursuing this kid, just like God pursues us. And they just won't go away. They're not overdoing it. They're very gentle in how they approach, but they just keep pursuing this child. And this kid pushes away, and finally goes, you know what? This person loves me, and I think I can trust them. And it softens their heart, and they move toward their step-parent, and they experience in that relationship another layer of what it is to be loved by God. At the end of the day, that's all any of us are looking for. Putting that in and working toward it, it's a journey. And sometimes it takes a whole lot longer than you would have prescribed it if it was up to you, but you can't control that. And so we walk in faithfulness as best we can. And God does amazing things with what little we bring to the table.
It reminds me, Ron, of that verse too. It says, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. And Ron, you're right. I just have in my mind's eye right now some broken kids who are saying, listen, I didn't choose this, and I need help. Help me on this healing journey that I need to go through. Give me hope for a better day. Encourage my heart. And let me know in the end that you love me. Ron, that's the beauty here for a moment. That's the goal.
That is it. Exactly. That's what I want for me. That's what I want for you. That's what I want for the people in my care.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
Asking for help is hard. Finding help shouldn't be. At Christian Care Connect, our mission is to connect those seeking help with a provider who offers the faith-based care they need. At CCC, we offer free mental health assessments for the user to help gauge their psychological and emotional well-being, as well as free self-help blog resources to help educate readers on topics such as depression, anxiety, and more. Christian Care Connect bridges the gap between those seeking help and the caregivers offering it, fostering connections rooted in clinical excellence. If you're looking for help, it's closer than you think. And if you're a provider who's ready to offer help, this site is for you too. Visit ChristianCareConnect.com to find the help you need or get listed as a provider. That's ChristianCareConnect.com.
I'm Dr. Tim Clinton from the American Association of Christian Counselors with your Mental Health Minute. My friend Ed Stetzer has often said, a church without the broken is a broken church. You know, it's clear that the church has often struggled to address complex reasons for why people suffer. One key issue has been a lack of understanding around the differences between sin, mental illness, and spiritual struggles. As a result, misdiagnosis, improper treatment remain all too common at the intersection of mental health and Christian ministry. Christians must remember that physicians, medicines, and even healing remedies were used throughout Scripture. Just as a diabetic needs insulin to stay healthy and someone with poor vision needs glasses to see, those facing mental health challenges may need medication and certainly godly counseling to help heal their hearts and their minds. This has been your Mental Health Minute. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton, president of the American Association of Christian Counselors and co-host of Life, Love, Faith, and Family. To learn more, go to aacc.net.
Do people ever come to you asking for help, maybe hope? How about prayer? Do you ever wish you understood the issues better that people are wrestling with? Or how about how to use the Bible more effectively in caring for people? If so, I'd love to get a copy of our Care and Counsel Bible in your hands, featuring 116 topics written by some of the world's best mental health and ministry experts. I think you'll love it. Topics like discouragement, abuse, depression, divorce, anxiety, abortion, and more. So you can learn more about these issues and how to use the Bible more effectively, how to share passages of Scripture with others, maybe even yourself, as you're sitting down over a cup of coffee. You know what I love most about this Bible is that it's so easy to use. You can find right up front an index with subjects, key passages of Scripture, personality profiles, and so much more to go to. So you can use the Bible more effectively in caring for other people. The Care and Counsel Bible right now is retailing for $85. We're going to make it available to you for just $49.99 plus shipping. I think you're going to love it. Hey, for more information about how you can get this Bible right now, go to careandcounsel.com. That's careandcounsel.com.
Don't miss the world's premier Christian Counseling Conference event, the 2025 AACC United World Conference. It has sold out the last 10 times in a row, and this one is shaping up to be the best one ever. Returning to the magnificent Opryland Hotel in Nashville, September 2025. With amazing plenary experts, over 50 leading pre-con workshops, over 25 counseling and recovery tracks, and over 175 clinical, academic, and biblical workshops, so you can tailor the conference to meet your personal and professional goals. This year's World Conference features world-leading and dynamic experts like Kurt Thompson, Henry Cloud, Tyler Vanderweel, Harold Koenig, Tim Timberlake, Gary Chapman, Daniel Amen, Lisa Turkhurst, Jenny Allen, Tim and Zach Clinton, and so much more. Enjoy incredible praise and worship with special guests, Chris Tomlin, Katie Nicole, and Micah Tyler. I see grace. Hallelujah, I stand amazed. Make plans to attend now. The World Conference has sold out the last 10 times in a row with nearly 7,000 counselors and mental health and ministry leaders from all 50 states and 40 different countries represented. Register now for the best savings at worldconference.net. That's worldconference.net. The 2025 AECC United World Conference. See you in September.